From the archives of the Sault Ste. Marie Public Library. On October 4, 1927, a 12-year-old Finnish boy named Eino Kuzela went missing. 6.5 years earlier, he and his older brother Wilho had been taken into the care of the Children's Aid Society. Their mother was dead, and their father was badly injured at the steel plant and was no longer able to care for them. After 2.5 years at the children's shelter, the two Kuzela boys were moved to a farm in Goulet Bay owned by Mr. Frank McCann, a druggist by trade. They were expected to work on the farm in exchange for meals, shelter, and clothing. According to McCann, Eino had been playing hooky from school and lying about it. Eino, a good student who had made the honor roll at the Goulet River Mountain School that April, had an explanation. He said that McCann worked him so hard in the mornings that he would be late for school, and his teacher would threaten to whip him. He preferred to skip school on those mornings rather than be late. Regardless of the reasons, McCann was angry with the boy's truancy. Eino, scared that he would receive a whipping as punishment, drove the cows home and started to walk toward Sault Ste. Marie before disappearing into the wilderness. A few days later, when the boy still hadn't returned, McCann reported him as missing. By the end of the month, the provincial police became involved in the search for him. Opinions were split as to whether Eino was lost in the woods or had attempted to return to his father in the Sioux. The Sioux Daily Star ran a plea for information and ran a description of what he was wearing: a black and blue checkered Mackinac coat, grayish-colored breeches, black woolen stockings and tan boots. By the end of October, the newspaper reported that farmers were beginning to think that something serious had happened to Eino. By early November, the newspaper reported that some alarm was being felt for his safety. Shortly after that, when search parties and the provincial police continued to come up empty-handed, he became a lost cause. Assuming he had been eaten by wolves, Eino was declared officially dead. But, as Eino would later reveal, he wasn't dead at all. As he told the paper, "I stayed in the bush all alone, and slept on logs the first week, covering myself up with grain bags I used to get from the barn at night. Sometimes it was cold, so during the next 2 weeks I worked on the cave." The cave was a small shelter, roughly 4 by 3 by 3 feet, a quarter of a mile away from McCann's farm. Eino had dug it himself with a pick and hung a bag in the entrance to protect him from the elements. When McCann's house was empty, Eino used a spare key and snuck food from the kitchen, largely bread and sugar. When that wasn't a possibility, he went to the barn and took potatoes and turnips. He ate these raw, not wanting to light a fire and draw attention to himself. When he left his cave, he took care to follow cow paths for as long as possible, hiding his footsteps from the throngs of searchers out looking for him. 40 days after his disappearance, Eino resurfaced. He had snuck into McCann's kitchen for some more food when the man walked in. Eino hid in the closet, but not well enough. McCann opened the closet door and found him. "He was awfully mad," said Eino. The boy ran off into the woods again the next day at breakfast. For another 36 days, there was no trace of him. During that time, he endured all sorts of wintry weather, including a blizzard that sunk 5 ships and, according to the Sioux Daily Star, whipped the waters of Lake Superior into a fury in which nothing could live. But finally, in December 1927, Eino returned to McCann's barn, looking for more turnips. Hearing McCann coming into the building, Eino hid in a manger but was quickly discovered. McCann beat him with a strip of belting, and Eino, terrified, ran back into the woods. This time, McCann and 2 other men tracked Eino to his cave. Once again, Eino received a terrible beating, this time with a knotted maple branch. He tried to run, but McCann caught him. He was brought to the house of Nelson McCauley, where McCann used the telephone to call the police and report that Eino had been found. Eino stayed the night at McCauley's house before being brought to Sault Ste. Marie and examined by Crown Attorney Welburn Atkin, the provincial police, and J.P. Reed of the Children's Aid Society. Atkin noted the terrible bruising that McCann had caused, saying, "I would dislike very much, and that's putting it mildly, to see any boy of mine, or any boy I had the slightest interest in, with marks on his left shoulder such as the marks this boy has." In Eino's absence, Frank McCann contacted the children's shelter to cancel his agreement to care for the child. Both Kuzela boys went back to the children's shelter. The Children's Aid Headquarters in Toronto tried to downplay the past few months, calling it a boyish escapade. As they explained in an official statement, it was probably a revival of primitive instincts that led the boy to take up his abode in the cave. They also noted that at any point, Aino could have complained about McCann to the local Children's Aid Inspector. Nevertheless, Frank McCann faced some retribution for his actions. He was charged with assault occasioning actual bodily harm. When asked how he would plea, he said, "I might as well plead guilty. To contradict it would be foolishness on my part." He had already admitted to beating both boys, Aino, on more than one occasion. The Crown felt the belt he used was a dangerous weapon in the hands of a man the size of the accused when administered to a boy 12 years of age. The Crown also noted that the beatings were severe, the kind usually only employed against the worst kind of criminals. McCann attempted to defend himself, saying that while the beating was excessive, he was provoked by Aino's poor behavior, including burglarizing his house. While he felt some regret, he also explained that he was a highly strong man. Ultimately, he was given a choice, paying $68 or spending 3 months in jail. He chose to pay the fine, approximately $1,175 by today's standards. As for Magistrate Elliot, he was quite impressed with Aino and his resourcefulness. According to the Sioux Daily Star, "It was a most miraculous thing," said the Crown. He felt that a boy who was capable of doing what Aino had done had some good in him. As for Aino, he briefly became a media sensation. Newspaper articles commented on his round, chubby face. He had taken care of himself so well on his own, or had received such terrible treatment at McCann's, that he had actually gained in weight since he departed from his master. He said he had a great time living out in his cave, without the responsibilities of school or farm work. "I would rather live in the cave than at Frank McCann's place." The story would spread across Canada and the United States, with journalists describing how the young Finnish boy lived like a bear in his den for 76 days. One article in the Pittsburgh Post quoted Aino as saying, "I was cold, but I'd rather be cold than beaten. I don't know how long I was there. Maybe years. And nights, I'd get so lonely and frightened I didn't dare to sleep, the wolves howled so." This was a distinct departure from the way that Aino spoke of his time in the woods in other interviews. Typically, he said he wasn't frightened and claimed not to have seen or heard any wolves. Regardless of its accuracy, the article certainly spoke to a fascination with the boy's story, and how his bravery and resourcefulness captured the hearts and minds of people across North America. Aino returned to the children's shelter. He would try and pass his entrance exam the following June in 1928. He and his brother were the only two from the shelter trying out that year, and he made headlines as newspapers discussed the cave boy and his academic pursuits. Later in 1928, Aino and two friends from the shelter went missing. They took the ferry to Sioux, Michigan, telling immigration officials that they were going to see a show, before proceeding to walk 20 miles. They slept in the bush and ate wild plums before hitting bad weather and deciding to return. "Cave boy and his companions back at shelter today," the newspaper proclaimed. The public was clearly still fascinated with Aino's story, and as for Aino, his time spent living in a cave in Goulet Bay had not discouraged him any from spending time outdoors and striking out in hopes of a better future for himself. Each week, the Sault Ste. Marie Public Library and its archives provide Sioux Today readers with a glimpse of the city's past. Find out more of what the public library has to offer at www.ssmpl.ca and look for more, remember this, columns here.